Shalom. This is Billy Brim coming to you from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. We'll be watching current events in the light of Bible prophecy. Just a week and a half ago, I was in Madison, Wisconsin, and while I was there, I remember the time I'd been there before, which was in 1980. I was preaching at a church, but coming to the city was Dr. Jerry Falwell in behalf of his moral majority. Now, I did not know Dr. Falwell, the news covered it. Every day he was in the news, big pictures were on the television, on the newspapers, and I remember seeing how vicious the crowd was toward him. It was about 10 years later that I had my first encounter with Dr. Falwell. I was in Los Angeles at a dinner meeting of about 30 people, and the tables were shaped in a U. And Steve Forbes and Dr. Falwell were at the U part of the table. Right across from me, going down one leg of the U, was Michael Reagan. And on my side, I was to the left of Dr. Falwell. Needless to say, there were other people, 30 people there. It was a very interesting meeting. But I mentioned to Dr. Falwell that I had been in Madison when he was there. He turned to me and said, "You know, while I was there, when I was on the steps, I mentioned seeing him on the steps of a building, may have been the Capitol, I'm not sure, but a vicious crowd was there. He said, "You know, they threw on me urine from HIV patients with AIDS, trying to splash it into my eyes so that I would get it." I thought, oh my, I realized then that some of the things that he had gone through, because what he was doing at the time was trying to get people of faith and of the book to vote their convictions and vote what they saw in the Bible as our ethics. I saw him again last July, and it was at the Christians United for Israel, our very first visit to Washington, when more than 3,000 of us went. Dr. Jerry Falwell was an executive board member of Christians United for Israel. He was a lover of Israel. I was blessed. I saw him in a press conference. We who were the heads of people who have position over states, whatever, for Christians United for Israel, were in a room with a press conference. And so it was rather up close. And they asked him some pointed questions. And I saw the confident way in which he handled himself with the press. It blessed me. As we went out the door, I said to him, "He has Liberty University, you know. And I'm a basketball fan, a WNBA fan. I have two little girls that play basketball," and I talked to him about Katie Feenstra, who's about 7 feet tall and had taken Liberty deep into the NCAA finals the year before. And I said to him how much I appreciated her and the other Christian basketball players or girls of good ethics who give a witness for a good, clean life. And he smiled when he remembered Katie and started telling me what a delight she was. I know that the students there loved him. I admire him. I did not know him well, but I know he was a man of courage. I heard that he was a man of prayer. I saw that he was a man who wanted to affect the youth. He was a man of love and faithfulness, and may his friends and family be comforted with the peace of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. And now for the other news events. In Iran, UN inspectors made an unannounced visit. They were denied access to Natanz, the Iranian underground uranium enrichment site, but they report that Iran has begun enriching uranium on a far larger scale. Defqa File called it, quote, "Iran's nuclear leap." In Gaza, the terrorist factions Hamas and Arafat's and Abbas's Fatah are fighting and killing each other. Meanwhile, Hamas continues to pelt Israel with rockets, and Israel says they will reply with, quote, "harshness." Israel has attacked by air Hamas facilities. But remember, this update is about watching current events in the light of Bible prophecy. And by far, prophetically, what happened this week, or May 16 on our calendar, and may have even passed without your much noticing, or the world's noticing, outside of Jerusalem, that is, was the 40th anniversary of Jerusalem's coming back into the Jews' hands after more than 2,000 years. This is the biggest thing on the radar screen of Bible prophecy. Now, when Jesus was asked, when will be the beginning of the visible kingdom, the millennial kingdom, we might say, he said to them, watch the fig tree, that's Israel, and all the trees. And he spoke about Jerusalem and about Israel. He was speaking in the year 29 or 30. What he prophesied came to pass 40 years later. 40 is a very significant number. It's a time of testing. It's a time of maturation. A baby is carried in its mother 40 weeks. Moses was 40 when he made certain steps, and 80 when he made certain steps in his life. They were 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was 40 days. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. So 40 is a very significant time. And Jesus made the prophecy in approximately 29 or 30. This prophecy, the first part of it, came to pass 40 years later. And the last part of it came to pass 40 years ago. So what is the prophecy? It's here in verse 24, Luke 21. And they, talking about the Jews, the children of Israel, shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, the city, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, the nations, until the times of the nations be fulfilled. 40 years after Jesus spoke, the nations under Titus, under Rome, Titus, conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, burned it. Then in the year 132 to 135, the Jews rebelled again. And I want to read you from A Short History of Jerusalem by Abraham E. Milgram. There was the war with Rome. And then after that, there was another revolt of the Jews. They revolted until 132 CE, only two generations after the great disaster of the year 70, the revolt broke out with surprising fury. The Roman legion stationed in Jerusalem was defeated and an independent Jewish state was launched for a while. And then they put that down on the 9th of Av, and they were so furious about that they destroyed the Romans, Hadrian, completely destroyed the Roman city, the city of Jerusalem. He renamed it Aelia Capitolina. He plowed under the Temple Mount. He plowed under that city, and he made a law that Jews could not come there. And so from 135 until 40 years ago in 1967, Jerusalem was in the hands of the Gentiles. But the prophecy of Luke 21 says it's coming back into the hands of the Jews. Now, 40 years ago, just 40 years ago, 1967, as a result of that miraculous six-day war, Jerusalem came back into the hands of the Jews. And Jerusalem Day was marked this year. In Israel, events are marked, and I'm reading from Israel International, INN.com. In Israel, events are marked by their Hebrew calendar date. And this year, the anniversary of the Six-Day War comes out on May 15 and 16, one day following the historic May 14, 1948 date of Israel's creation. This is significant in the Arab world, for Arab students will be marching for a week and calling it the Great Catastrophe Day. In contrast, in Jerusalem, the celebration was marked by thousands of people waving fat flags in the city. My friend Moshe Kempinski, who has Shorashim Bookstore in Jerusalem, wrote, 40 years ago, I was sitting in my high school in Canada, taking a chemistry exam. Yet my mind, heart, and soul was thousands of miles away. For the months prior to those fateful days in June 1967, the radio waves were filled with hatred and threats against the small sliver of a country called Israel. Gamal Abdel Nasser, the president of Egypt, declared on radio, quote, "We intend on beginning an all-out campaign. It will be a total war, and our basic purpose is the eradication of the Israeli state." Those kinds of remarks were coming from everywhere, from Syria. It's interesting to read how terrible they were. They were on the radio announcing they were going to destroy Israel. Even King Hussein joined the war that began in 1967. It was June, early June. King Hussein of Jordan even said the following words, quote, "Kill the Jews with everything that comes in your hands. Kill them with your arms, with your hands, with your nails, with your teeth." The days prior to those fateful days of June were days filled with prayers, concern, and gloomy and dark fears. But what happened in Israel was they made a preemptive attack. Then he describes how he heard what happened as he was sitting in Canada. Then everything changed in a flash of divine intervention. It was then that I heard the recording that shifted the world and changed my life. Kol Israel microphones held by the Israeli war correspondents were picking up the voices of battle and commands and instructions of the commanders. Then the microphones pick up the following words amidst the intermittent bullet fire. One hears General Uzi Narkis asking breathlessly, "Tell me, where is the Western Wall? How do we get to it?" Israeli radio correspondent Yossi Ronan continues with the following hesitant and breathless words, "I am walking right now down the steps toward the Western Wall. I'm not a religious man, I never have been, but this is the Western Wall, and I'm touching the stones of the Western Wall," and his voice trails off into a silence of awe. Shafar sounded. Rabbi Gorn said, "We're going now to recite the prayer for the fallen soldiers of this war against all the enemies of Israel." Soldiers began to weep as he prayed. And Israel, Jerusalem, came into the hands of Israel exactly as was prophesied 40 years ago. I'm watching this entire year, and on our radio broadcast next week, not this one, but next week, we're going to start a series on Jerusalem. What does it mean to God? What does it mean to America? What does it mean to the Jews? What does it mean to Christians? What does it mean in this amazing 40th year? Please tune in the rest of this week as we tell you here on the radio broadcast what is so important about this week. Shavuot, Pentecost, what it means. And then next week we'll go back to Jerusalem. Would you like to go really with us to Jerusalem this year? We're going there Rosh Hashanah, September 2 through 15. Please call us about joining us for the 2007 Rosh Hashanah Israel Tour. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. Remember to send your kids to Champions for Christ. I'll be speaking there, and that's CHIPS meeting. Call us at that same number. And then I want you at our prayer conference that we have right out here. Just a few of us, less than 200, will be every day, all day at Prayer Mountain, June 5th through 8th, 2007. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. Join Lynn Hammond and me. Shalom, shalom.